I have with me a talis. A pair of slacks. A pair of slacks, right? We'll move this if it hasn't done. A sword in laundry. A tablecloth.
Oh, that's a great one. Looks like my tablecloth.
Okay. And a napkin. Fancy napkin. A cloth napkin. And I have all of this because today we're going to discuss the halachas of laundry. Okay? And specifically as to the halachas of laundry relates to Shabbos. Okay. Exactly.
Yeah, right. There's got to be a day you can't do it.
Well, there's got to be a rule. Wait, that's from what you want.
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's see. Wow, okay, let's talk about it. So we talked about already...
Talking about
even asking. Okay, we already talked about cleaning, but you're not allowed to do it. Remember, you're not allowed to soak the clothing in order to make it wetter. You're not allowed to, if there's a stain, scrape off the clothing. We even discussed, if you remember, I got myself full of chalk dust and all that stuff. You're not even allowed to, try to pat it down to make it better. But there are other issues when it comes to laundry as well, as we will discuss in today's class, and we'll see how far we get. So the first one is sorting clean laundry. Okay, so you all know that, I don't know if it happened to you, sometimes it's happened to us, where you get to Shabbos, and you just didn't have time to put away all the stuff. Okay? So you just have to remember, right? Say you have a bunch of stuff, and you're like, I want the towels. I need a couple of towels. Okay? There's a problem, though. Well, let's say I need the kids' shirts. So, I've got a kid's shirt here. The problem, though, is the halachic issue of borer. Remember that there's a prohibition of borer, of separating things. Remember one of the classic, you're allowed borer is prohibited, except, anybody remember the three categories? The three, miyad, biyad, and? Very good, you're almost there. Ochel mitoch psolet. Ochel mitoch psolet literally means the food from the garbage, from the chaff. But it doesn't literally mean that. It means the thing you want from the thing you don't want. So let's say I wanted towels. So I'm not allowed to, if I was normally folding laundry, then I would probably, as you fold, you go along, you take the towels, I'm picking out the towels. But you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. You're not allowed to sort laundry in the normal way. Right? Because that's borer. That's literally borer. So if I want the towels, moreover, I'm not allowed to sort the laundry in a normal way. Rather, I'm only allowed to, let's see what I'm allowed to do. It says the Shmiras Shabbos. Okay? Kvashim Shehurdu, and this is verse number one. Kvashim Shehurdu min ha-chevel. What's the chevel? Kvashim are laundry that were taken off the line. Okay, so we don't have lines. What do we have? We have dryers. But in Israel, they have lines. Everybody still uses a...
I have lines in the basement.
In the basement, right. Yeah, a couple of them, right. Okay? Asur l'mayeno tamasugehem. You are not allowed to sort them according to their means. Aval l'haniach kol davar bimkomo binifrad. But let's say I can't sort them, but let's say I'm taking, I got a towel, okay, then I click in here, I got a pajamas, right? And then I'm putting it in a separate place. That, remember, you are permitted to do. Remember we talked about that when it came to silverware as well. You weren't allowed to take a bunch of silverware and pick out the different things that you needed, but if, as you were washing them, you knew you needed them for the next day, or as you were pulling them out, one by one, and putting it in the individual place, that was all the difference in the world between borer, which was a d'oraisa, and not borer. This is ringing a bell from what, last year, 2 years ago?
Yeah,
sort of ringing a bell.
Don't you also have to serve that on the table and then separate?
That was another option, so that it wouldn't be a mixture.
Right.
Yeah, but laundry is a little trickier. You'd have to...
Put it on your bed. Bring it upstairs, put it on your bed, just clean bed. You have it in the basket.
Right, most people's beds are full of lunch. Oh, sorry. Okay. 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 So he says, it doesn't even mean you put it in the closet. Elagam samachlo, next to the closet. And then you put it in the closet right after you fold it. Open hamutar, in the permissible way. So we're going to talk about fold in the permissible way. What do you mean? Can you fold it? Can't you fold it? So this is something that people are not aware of. We're going to talk about folding laundry as well. Okay, so let's just skip to go to number two. This is also the Shmir Shabbos Kel Chasa. Two, Begadim Misugim Shonim, Ogdolim Shonim, clothing of different types, socks, shirts, or different sizes. Hamutalim ba'arema lelo sheder, they're in a pile. Asher lemayenotam lefi hasug or lefi agodi. Now let us sort them on Shabbos. Remember, that's again the halacha of borer. Avamutu lakachad kol beged yifi shabali yado. But you let it, like, you know, like I just like I said, pick out whatever comes to your hand and then fold it however it comes. Mesuv lahanicho bimkoma. Right, and then you go and then you put it in its place. You can keep doing this until you get the whole, you know, just pick out whatever comes in your hand. So what's going to determine whether you're doing borer or not? In all honesty, you are. No, I mean, it just all depends on what your on your attitude. Now you forget. Now, let me just point out. So now I got this pile. Right? If you look at my pile, one of these things is not like the other. Right? So I said, oh, I got to take that out. What did I just do? That's borer. That act of borer. Because you have things that are mixed together, and as soon as you just, if you pull out the one you don't want, that's an act of borer. People don't realize that. You can have borer in laundry too. And that's a baddie. Yeah?
When you pick out whatever comes to your hand, you put it in separate piles?
Absolutely. That's exactly what he says.
Like
no. Borer is when I have a mixture, and I'm taking something out. When I'm putting my hand, what do I get? Smata. Good. Smata pile.
But the point of what you're doing is to get to something specific, is it not?
Yes.
And that's okay?
Let's say I wanted one specific thing. Then I'm allowed to, but I'm only allowed to do it in such a way. Well, let's say I wanted, and I wanted this shirt. So if I'm not allowed to dig through it. Oh, sorry. But let's say if I see the shirt, I could get the shirt only when I need it. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm going to talk about this in general. What if you want to get rid of the laundry? So we're going to talk about that later. I have a problem.
You're doing all of this just to get to that.
So what?
Right?
So what?
I don't know, it just seems like...
Once you get to that shirt, you have to stop. Because you've got to get
it. Says who?
Well, you can continue. The whole idea was to get what you wanted. So now that you have what you wanted...
Well, he didn't say that. He said... You could do that. Ad shebederech zu yeshader et kol ha'arema.
Another paper.
Yes, there's a bunch flying around. Yeah, more sheets. Until you organize the whole pile. That's what he said.
You can't put it in the cup and pot.
What do you mean? Now that I have these things and I have the towels, can I put them away? Why not?
It just doesn't seem.
Right. Why not?
Because it's not. It's what you would do every day.
If she's looking for that chumrah.
No. It's not Shabbos, right?
Good. I agree with all of you. But you see in the Shemitah Shabbos, I don't make it up. I agree with all of you. Mem bet number two. Mikivan she'ein hetel livror ela shamuch l'shimush b'davar hanivrar. Right. You're not allowed to sort except. Right next to, right about when you are going to use the thing that's sorted. Yes, livror et habeged shetzarich lo davka shamuch la'ashiat l'shat l'bishato. Right, you should choose the clothing, the cloth you want, specifically next to the time when you're going to wear it. V'alkein, therefore, yes, lizaher shelo livror below Shabbos or below Yom Tov es bigehe ladin. Right? We got children's clothes in there. That happened, right? So you know what the kids need to wear tomorrow. So I got to get the Shabbos socks. Okay, am I allowed to take out the Shabbos socks?
No.
I am tomorrow. Miyad means right away, right next to when I'm about to use it. But not, you know, long time before it. That I'm not allowed to do. Okay? Avai says, Avai mutar lahalim et habegadim ha'elyonim she'be'arimat habegadim kedei lahagil habegadim she'mitachteihem. I can start taking stuff out until I get to the socks when I need it, because I'm not sorting it. Everybody understand? So the halachas of sorting are very, very important and relevant, and they apply to laundry just like they apply to anything else. And sometimes we think that borer is only for food, but it's not only for food; it's for laundry also. Any questions on this topic? No. Good. Okay. What would happen though if I have a... You have to realize also, so now I have a bunch of towels, right? And I want the fleecy towel. And I'm going to put the fleecy towel over there. What did I just do?
Borrow
it. It's not just towels and a shirt. I've got a... What?
Right, so it would seem you shouldn't be starting with this to begin with.
Hey, stay away from the laundry.
Right,
yeah, exactly.
Your mind, your pleasure, your schmatas, the socks. You'd end up with piles and piles and piles.
The act of folding laundry is one big act of boreh. It absolutely is. That's correct. So which only right, tells you, be very, 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 very careful. Right, you know.
You would think that, you know, like some of the other things, they would just say, because we're afraid you're going to do this and you're going to do that, just don't do it.
She's begging me. Okay, don't do it.
No, it has nothing to do with it. You understand what I'm saying? There's so many things that we're told, don't do it because it could lead you to do this.
Well, Borer was not one of them. Why was Borer not one of the things where we said, don't do it because it could lead to Borer? Why do you think Borer was not one of them?
Because Borer is Borer.
The problem with Borer is it's so all pervasive, it could apply to anything, anywhere. Your silverware, it could apply to, you know, washing the dishes. It applies to everything. It applies to the books in your cabinets. It applies, you know what I'm saying? So what would they tell you not to do? Don't touch laundry? What if your kid needs socks?
That's what she wants.
Yeah, I know. We'll talk about it. What if your kid needs socks? What about
right, there you go.
Sorting. I'm asking you this question. You ever play cards on Shabbos?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why you can't play rummy.
Well, I didn't say you can't play rummy. It's tricky.
And then you can't go to a bookcase and pick out a book you want?
What?
So you can't go to a bookcase and pick out a
book? No, you can pick out the one you want, sure.
But then you can't put it back.
What?
Why can't you put it back?
Well, you could put it back. Of course you could pick the one you want. You want to use it right away.
Yeah. Right?
Oh, no, but these are all mixed together. Would you say the bookcase is books?
Bookcase is all books mixed together.
Now, let's say I had a pile of books and I wanted to reorganize them in such a way. That would be a problem if it was a pile of something's mixed together. It all depends on the size of the mixture. Doing puzzles, not simple on Shabbos. You know? This is Borer issues. Really, you know, people don't think about it, but these are all issues that come up. And Borer is one of those things, when we talked about it, it's really very pervasive. Really very, very pervasive. You know, especially kids' games. When you come to play kids' games, you a lot of think about how much sorting is involved in playing games. So you have to be aware. Let's say, for example, I mean, I don't know about Julie, you have young kids, right? So at the end of the day, you just, instead of, we have these, like, buckets, baskets, you know, with the different toys. So at the end of the day, you just like sweep it all into this big pile, and then instead of doing each individual game, the problem you're doing is then you're making a mixture, and then you're sorting it out, as opposed to on Shabbos, where you really wouldn't want to do that. Right. You understand what I'm saying, Harriet? The Borer is one of those big ones. Yeah, it's a tricky one. No, in the bookcase, you could... take what you want. Remember, you're allowed to take what you want. You're allowed to select the one you want for immediate use. And I wouldn't also consider books on a bookcase as being mixed.
What about gathering up the magazines that come all week?
Okay.
There are Shabbos reading, which we do. We have a
good
pile of magazines, Shabbos reading.
Right.
Now, they are a mixture.
Correct.
So you have to then read them in order, or you can read decide I wanted to take the Good Housekeeping.
That's the one you want right now. Right, but what happens if you were going upstairs? Now I'm going to confuse you. What if you were going upstairs, right, and you realize I want the Good Housekeeping, I want the Sports Illustrated, and the Wired Magazine. So you take out this one and you take out that one and you leave it downstairs. That you can't do.
What if we have
everybody understand that, the difference? Yeah.
And they're the ones that I want to read and the ones that he wants to read.
So you take the ones you want to read right now.
But then I'm sorting.
I'm sorting. No, you can do it for immediacy.
Right. You can take the one you want.
What? She says you don't have to be so kind.
Right. Nice. I know you want me to say no magazines on Shabbos.
No.
Okay. What? You just sit around. No. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? You have to be careful about this idea of mixture. Okay. That's one area of one area of laundry. Okay. Another area that people are not aware of is the second area, number two, hanging wet laundry. Okay? Well, hanging wet laundry, I really hope that you don't leave your wet laundry on Shabbos. You know, let's say, it could happen, I guess, it's happened before. Let's say you run, you leave it in the washing machine. Although we have found that in the summer especially, if you leave it in the washing machine over a 24-hour period, it starts to smell mildewy, it'll start to smell gross, okay? What?
Put it on the rinse, man.
Put it on the rinse? Yeah, okay. So, gets a little stinky, I think. Okay, so can I hang it? So the answer is, no, you can't.
You would think, obviously not.
Why would you think obviously not? Because I'm mentioning it?
No, because it's doing a kind of work that's just not for Shabbos.
What? So you're just saying it's not Shabbos day, I don't want to do the laundry, which is fine.
What,
I'm not going to make you do it.
What use is this wet laundry to you either on Shabbos?
Oh, what if I want to wear it?
Yeah, what if I want to wear the shirt and wear my morning
clothes? Oh, freezing at some point. Very good. What? You're allowed to, let's say, for example, I got a smata here, right? And I accidentally, the smata is wet, and it's in the sink. I left it in the sink by accident. So now I need to use the sink. Can I move the smata? Yes, you can, but you have to be careful that you don't squeeze it, right? So squeezing it is not always a problem. You have to just be aware of it. Okay? Let me give you another example that maybe we could probably imagine. So you're walking from Shul and Me'er Shearim to somebody's house in Geula, and it just happens to be Friday night, and it's pouring rain. Could you imagine such a case?
I could.
You could. Okay, as could I. Right? You can imagine it here. And you get home, and you didn't really bring a coat because you figured it was Israel, hey, you know. You just brought this short jacket, and you get to the people's house, and your shirt is soaked. Okay? And so you want to hang up your shirt in order to let it dry. Can you do that?
No.
What makes you say no?
Well, actually, you can because you want to wear it, right? Because you wore it already. So
what would be the difference between that and if I had left it in the washing machine and I want to wear it?
Because in the washing machine, you didn't wear it and you didn't have in mind. Maybe
you didn't. Oh, very good. What if I did have in mind? Very good. That's an interesting point. Meaning, something, there's a principle called Migud it Katsai Benali Deshabta. Something becomes Muktza when Shabbos enters in the beginning of Shabbos, then it becomes Muktza for the whole Shabbos. So, for example, let's say I had laundry that was wet that I hung up to dry right before Shabbos. You're allowed to hang it up before Shabbos. Okay? And it was wet, so I didn't think I'm going to wear it. And then I come the next day and I see, oh, you know, I really would like to wear that shirt. You're not allowed to. It's muktzah. Why? Since it was muktzah, since I didn't have in mind to use it from before Shabbos, when Shabbos entered, muktzah means something. Muktzah doesn't mean, you know, like a recorder, which I can't touch. Muktzah is a mindset. Muktzah is really about, I did not intend to use this on Shabbos, and therefore things that I don't have intention to use, they become muktza, prohibited on Shabbos.
In general, in mind, I might use any of my clothes. I mean, you don't necessarily, maybe some people do, but I pick a size for Shabbos.
I think you generally assume that the socks you're going to use are the ones in your drawer in your bedroom.
Exactly.
No, I mean not the ones that are downstairs unless you run out. But I think it's safe to assume unless you have specific das. To say, I'm going to use this clothing when it dries, then you would be allowed to. It's safe to assume that you wouldn't have those in mind. So says the Shulchan Aruch, this is source number 2. Okay? Nisha Nishu Kelav B'mayim. Someone whose kelim, kelim means any kind of garment, got soaked in water. Holech mehem ve'eno choshesh shema yavo lidei shchita. So you had to walk in them. Because you could say, maybe I have to take off my shirt because I'm going to squeeze it. No, you could go, you could keep walking. Velo yishtachem l'nagvam mipnei maris ha'ayin. Says, but you're not allowed to spread them out, to hang them out to dry because of maris ayin. What's the maris ayin? Shelo yechasdu shekibson b'shabbos. That people shouldn't be choshed, they shouldn't think that what you do, you did the laundry on Shabbos. Apparently, I guess, this was the time of the Rabbanan, the rabbis made a gzeira, a decree, that you're not allowed to hang laundry on Shabbos, you're not allowed to spread it out, because people would look at it and think that you actually washed the clothing on Shabbos. V'afilu b'chadrei chadarim, she'ein sham roim asus. You say, okay, fine. Now, I understand, I live in Israel, and everybody can see my mirpes that I'm hanging laundry. But why don't I do it in America? I go to my basement, hang it up, no problem at all. Says no, Maris Ayin, once the rabbis prohibited something that was prohibited because of this idea of Maris Ayin, it's prohibited across the board. Even B'chadrei Chadarim, B'chadrei Chadarim means in a room inside of a room, in your own private domain. V'lo asu ela l'shachta l'shatchan b'shabbos, the only prohibition was l'shatchan b'shabbos, to spread it out. אבל אם שטח מערב שבת כלים המחובשים, אין אחד בסך המשבת. But if you, let's say you hung out your laundry to dry from before, then you don't have to get rid of it. So we see that there's something that people are just not aware of, I mean, most people are not aware of. There's an issue of prohibition of hanging things to dry on Shabbos. So let's say, for example, so I have my shemata. You say, okay, I got my shemata, let me just hang it up. I'll take it downstairs to the laundry, I'll hang it up, and then I'll be able to use it later. No, you're not supposed to do that. Yes?
I was just going to ask.
Oh, so the first question you have to ask yourself is, how wet is considered wet? Okay? So the wet has to be what's called tofeach amanat lahatfiach. So wet that if you put it down, it would make the surface wet. So I assume that, I mean, unless, you know what I'm saying?
But if you walk home and your jacket is wet,
yes,
you take off your overcoat,
yes,
you're going to be hanging it up to dry.
Ah, so the question is, what would you consider to be maris ayin? To look as if you had washed it.
Yeah, but it's at home. So how are people know if it's
a... Yeah, that's the thing. The thing that was, well, let's say your shirt.
It's going to be very wet.
Your shirt. Let's say you washed a shirt. So what would give the impression, what would you consider to be maris ayin, and what would you consider not to be maris ayin?
Wait.
You're going to hang it up no matter what, right?
Well, we didn't iron it, so...
Right, you didn't iron it. Who would know?
You don't need
to iron it. Right.
So, for example, what happens
when
you
have
water spills on your
table? Yes.
And you take a shmata and you
soak it up.
Soak it up.
Right, we talked about that.
Now, so can you hang it up? To dry, that would be wet enough if you put it down, it would make a spot.
Right.
It's not dripping, but it's wet.
Right.
But can you hang that up? But for example, I keep my schmatt is on the stove.
Right.
There's a rack. Yeah, the hand towels, whatever it is.
Right.
Can I hang that up to dry?
I think that might be an issue. Let's see. Let's get to page two.
So did we answer the question of can you hang up wet clothes on Shabbos?
We're going to get there. We're going to get page two. Hold on a second.
Right.
Okay. Yes, the color, absolutely.
It is.
I'm nasty. I apologize. What do you mean?
Well, you have to do something with it.
You clearly have to do something with it.
Wearing it and it's wet.
You don't have to throw it on the floor. Right? We can all agree. But the question is, where do you put it? Says the Shmir Shabbos. Again, this is Rabbi Neuberg. Is in the Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa. This actually does appear in English as well. Four. Asher litlot kvasim rituvim b'makahir says, you're not allowed to hang wet laundry b'makom shirigilim litlosam, in the place where you would normally hang it, kidei liyavsham. Okay? Why? Remember, maris ayin, people are going to see and they're going to think that you washed it. Oh, I'm sorry, I have to go back. Go back to page one for a second. There's an important exception. Okay. See where it says the afilu and the mishabura in number three? Okay. Even b'chadrei chadarim. So somebody asked Chavis Chaim that they had a problem. What about diapers? Okay, and I remember this is before Pampers and disposable diapers. I personally don't know how they lived before disposable diapers, because
they stayed for about a month.
What, the cloth? Now imagine a cloth diapers with and no diaper service. 3 years with no service?
You wash them with
pants.
You had a service. Now imagine no service. Okay. Of course, diaper. So what do you do?
You have a pail.
Yeah.
There's a pail and you stuck them in the pail. There's a pail that had a tightly closing lid.
And what did you end?
You had a hand
for that. That was all there was. And you washed them in the pail.
Well, you have to 24 hours.
Yeah, okay.
There's a hand for it.
And nowadays we're so spoiled. Not only do we have the disposable diapers, we have the diaper genie to prevent the smell from permeating the house. Thank God for technology. You see that? You see, you know, the progress in the world, really.
Sorry,
but
you don't
have
the genie.
We don't have the
granny.
Yeah. Oh, what's a diaper? God willing, we'll tell you. We'll buy you one. Okay. So says the Mishabura. Ba'afilu, he says, u'begadim shem lafshim behem ha'tinok, right? And the clothing which you use to diaper your child, shekorin vindlin, anybody know that Yiddish word? It's diapers. Mutar l'shatcham bebeito shiyitnagvu. Those you're allowed to spread out and let them dry out. Even in the chacher, even in the courtyard, a warm courtyard, you're allowed to dry those out. Why do you want to dry them out, by the way? You got to use them again. Right, I mean, seriously. They're dirty. So it's obvious that you didn't wash it, and there's no chash. Meaning, so it's an interesting kula. You have to realize, the whole prohibition of leaving something hanging to dry is maris ha'ayim. Right? Is something that becomes visible. Someone's going to think you washed it. But if when you leave the thing out, no one thinks you washed it because it's still dirty. And they say, let's say it wasn't dirty, it was wet. Still, everybody knows diapers are, you know, kids swirl diapers on Shabbos. So if you need to reuse the diaper, you first want to probably let it dry out in the sun, and then you're allowed to reuse it. So we see that it's not an all-encompassing prohibition. This Mishnah Berurah gives the Rabbana, gives rabbis, modern-day rabbis, an opening. What's the opening? Because it's not a blanket rule. Once there's an exception, what does that show you?
There
could be other exceptions. So once you say, well, diapers, nobody would think that you wash them on Shabbos. Okay, what about other things that nobody thinks you washed on Shabbos? Would that be included or excluded in the prohibition? So now it's in page 2. Okay? Asher litlos kivashim utuvim b'makav, you're not allowed to hang laundry. Yud. Dam b'chagadim acherim. Also other clothes. Shenirtivu machmat yeshamim. They became wet because of rain. Or machmat zeya. Or because of sweat. Afilu nirtivu rak b'mikchasham. Even if they became only partially wet. Asher litlosam kidei liyavsham. You're not allowed to hang them up in order to dry them off. Or leave them like next to the stove or near the heat or whatever they would do. You're not allowed to hang them up. He says to hang them kidei liyavsham in order to dry them off. Okay, so you wear your shirt, you wear it in the rain, it got all wet. You can't hang it up in order to dry it out. So how would you hang it up? What do you do?
Fold it on a hanger.
What's that?
Over a chair?
Or, you know, it's an interesting question. We'll see in a second. Okay? You'll see in a second. Yud bet, he says, chitulim, diapers that got a little wet. Okay? We saw the example of the diapers. The diapers that got wet, you're allowed to spread them out. Yud gimel. Gam begadim she'asur litlotam l'shem yibush. Clothing that is prohibited from hanging them for drying. You can put them away. So that's your answer, right? Your shirt is all wet. It's soaking. Okay, you can hang it up in the closet.
With your other clothes?
What?
With your other clothes?
What's going to happen?
Molding. That's
going to
happen.
It does, right.
In your dryer.
Yeah, then put it in the laundry. If you think it's going to get moldy, so you have two choices. You want to hang it up, hang it in the closet. Right, it's spread it apart, hang it up.
Yeah, right.
You're not allowed to hang it in such a way that would normally you'd want. Meaning, where would you hang? Let's say you washed something by hand. Where would you hang it?
Hang it
in the bathtub, right? So that's what you're not allowed to do. That's exactly what you're not allowed to do. You understand? You're not allowed to hang it in such a way where you would normally hang something.
But if I have another place that things can be hung up, you can hang it up there?
In the closet, yeah, in a closet. You mean you don't want to mix it with your other clothes for whatever reason? Or you could put it in the laundry for you know, you could put it in the hamper. But if you want to hang it up like you would normally hang it up, you're not allowed to hang it in such a way where people would, in theory, if they were ruffling through your bathrooms, think that you had washed it.
Yeah, things true for.
So I remember when my, you know, everybody's got.
You were out in the rain or the snow, and you didn't want to get the water all over the floor, so you hung it over the.
Right, but remember, it's a low plug. The rabbis, it's a low plug, meaning the rat, once it's prohibited because of Maris Ayin, it's prohibited.
But the Maris Ayin there, anyone that would see it would know it isn't because you washed your London fog, it's because your London fog.
Well, we're going to get to London fog in a minute, but what about your sweater? What about your cashmere sweater? You don't have a cashmere sweater. What about her cashmere sweater?
You wouldn't hang up a cashmere sweater.
Sure you would.
Like
sure you would. How do you? I remember way back when they sold woolite. Did they still sell woolite?
Yeah.
Right, woolite for light fabrics, and my mom would take whatever you know, delicate sweater or what have you, and she would use the wool line. When she was done, she would hang it up in the bathtub. That's exactly what she did. You do that. Ah, drawer does it.
A big
fish. See?
Right.
Well,
to dry it, right?
Yeah.
But
the sweater
dry. You because you didn't want it to shrink.
Yeah, you have
to. You know,
have
to.
You have
to. Call me crazy. I don't know. Okay, whatever. Now, things you would hang up. What? Okay.
This is so simple. You just hang it on the doorknob.
Yeah.
And since I normally hang things on the doorknob.
You're A-OK. Absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. That's exactly right. Yes. You can hang it in the normal place. Sure.
Doorknob's your closet.
OK.
TMI.
Is that what he says? Aval, right in the membet, lo yitlem al hachevel so the ambatia. Don't hang them on the bechlos hachevel. See, in only Israel, it's not a rod. In Israel, they have a string, right? They have a string over there. You ever go to the hotels and they have the string that goes across? Because they don't have showers. I don't ever, never understood why they never figured out stall showers in Israel, but they just, whatever, okay. You can see when you read the Shneur Shabbos, you can see the cultural differences between Israel and America. In America, we would never talk about hanging. No Posick would write about hanging it on a line. Who hangs things on a line in America? We're so spoiled with our, with our dryers, Now, although nowadays, somebody should go into the clothesline business, save gas money. Okay. So now we go to the question of dry cleaned clothes. Okay, this is Rabbi Ribia. Dry cleaned clothes. Some contemporary Poskim contend that there is a basis for permitting one to hang a suit or a coat that became wet in the rain in a bath in the laundry room, because it is common knowledge that such clothes are never laundered but are only dry cleaned. That's what you mean, right? Everybody knows that, you didn't, it's pouring outside, but, I felt like taking wool and washing my trench coat. I don't think so either. Okay, the same might be said of ladies' Shabbos attire. Although many ladies' garments are washable, it appears that Shabbos garments are all never washed but are dry cleaned in the vast majority of cases. If this is true, it follows that if a woman was caught in the rain, she too is permitted to hang her Shabbos clothes to dry, even in a laundry room. There are prominent poskim, however, who do not make a distinction between dry clean garments and ordinary washables. They rule that dry clean garments which became wet are not exempt from the restriction of Marit Ayin. Therefore, one who adopts a stringent attitude on this question has basis for doing so. Does he sound convincing?
No.
It appears, however, that the consensus of most poskim is to allow a lenient attitude on this manner. Now, I just want to point out, very interesting. Could you guess from me, I'm going to show you, which poskim do you think would prohibit, and which poskim do you think would permit dry cleaning versus non-dry cleaning? Anybody want to guess? I'm going to show you in a second. Okay. So it is very interesting. Turn the page. Hanging a wet raincoat? A wet raincoat may be hung to dry in the laundry room because it is obvious that the coat is not drying from the wash, but only from the rain. Okay, so you see, remember, once there was an exception would apply universally. But a shirt, pants, things like that would not be excluded. So now I showed you, just see the footnote 118A. Okay? So, and the reason I'm going to give you this footnote is that something very interesting happened. And okay? If you look at page number...
Source 6
on page 3. Footnote 118A, sorry. So he writes, that not all posts can permit dry clean clothes. He says, Kain Samati B'Shem, you see where I am, 118A? Hagon Rav Yosef Shalom El Yashiv Shlita. Okay, Rabbi El Yashiv said, Shalom Kibel Hasfar Lahatir. Rabbi El Yashiv did not permit dry clean clothes. He said, bottom line, the rabbi said Marasayim. Marasayim is Marasayim. V'od, de'afshar lahaniach sheyesh begadim ke'ein elu she'afshar l'chabes karagil. Now if you look, I don't know, now it seems very popular. Everywhere I go, they have these fancy pants that are all wash and wear. And they're not the same. But they look the same. So who would know? Wash and wear, not wash and wear. So the reason I wanted to tell you this, I just had a certain affinity. We had the privilege of, I wouldn't say meeting, but getting a bracha from Rav El Yashiv. So how would you like to tell us how Rav El Yashiv lives?
How does he live?
Yes.
He lives in a small apartment.
Yes.
surrounded by books everywhere.
Yes, right.
As a constant flow of people probably in and out of his apartment.
Now, would Rabbi Yashiv know or care about the difference between this dry clean or not dry clean? You know what I'm saying?
He doesn't get out and do his own shopping.
Correct. Meaning, someone who's sensitive, like in America, we know what dry clean only is. And we spend a lot of money on dry clean clothes. And we dry clean them, and we would never think of washing them. But in certain places or certain communities, you know, to see that as being a major distinction, you'd have to know that we spend a lot of money on dry cleaning and things of that nature. And so one gets a sense that Rabbi Yishai said it's an iser, and he's not sensitive to the idea that you would never wash something if it says dry clean only. You know, maybe he's not. I don't know. I mean, and that was his judgment. His judgment was that the Chazal say it. So therefore, he says, because of that, if you skip that a couple paragraphs, in Kol Zeh, with all this, but he, Rabbi Rivia, clearly feels, he says, I think that there's no problem hanging up dry clean clothes. I think it's no problem at all. Everybody knows. But in Kol Zeh, lo mi leiti libi listam hadvarim leheter b'finim ha-sefer. In the book, you'll notice he didn't say it's committed. He said, most poskim say it's okay. Why? Since Rabbi Yashiv is machmir, I can't say everybody allows it. Although, who is Mekil? Anybody want to guess who's Mekil? Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who's also from Israel. Okay? If you look in the Shmir Shabbos, in source number 7, Kol Beged Shemirta Mineha Gishamim, any clothing that got wet from him, Asur Litzloso, Kidei Liyavsho. You can't hang it up in order to dry it. Ukemavur Le'el Shiv Yud, as we see before. Ubechlal Zeh Gam Mi'il Geshem, same is true of a raincoat. Asui mibad o mitsupe gumi. Okay? So does that sound like you're allowed to hang up the raincoat in the bathroom or not?
No.
Sounds like you're not. Right? The only problem is that's only if you read upstairs. You gotta learn how to read the footnotes too. Alright? They don't tell you this. In the English translation, they don't give you the footnotes. They only give you the upstairs. So if you read the English Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa, are you allowed to hang up your raincoat in the bathroom?
No.
No. Skip to look at the footnote. Kuf yud tet. See the footnote? Veshamati mihagon Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Shlita. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, yeah, you can hang it up. Because nobody washes it. And everybody knows that it got wet from the rain. It's even better than those though, diapers. The diapers, if those are okay, and hanging up your raincoat in the bathtub is certainly, certainly okay. So it's interesting that there's this clash of the poskim. I just wanted to show you that there's this, and both of them are from Israel, there's a sort of clash of the poskim, and so what comes out is, you come home from your, you come back from the, and you're caught in the rain. If your suit got wet, can you hang up your dry clean only suit in the bathtub?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. If your shirt got wet? No. Your raincoat?
Yeah.
Yes. What was interesting was, the rabbi that we ate at, I actually noticed this. And if you remember, Howard, we were taking off our coats. And he is a student of Rabbi El Yashiv. And he took our coats, and he hung it in the bathtub. He hung at least one of them. Most of them, you know, he hung in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
But one of them he put in the bathroom. And so I was very curious to see that he did that. And I was, and I'm just wondering, you know, because clearly there's room and many poskim that say it's permitted. I'm just wondering if he ever asked Rabbi El Yashiv what his opinion was on the matter.
Is it possible that one raincoat was in a different material? In other words, were all the other that material and this one was like a rubber slicker?
You want to have a rubber slicker?
What's
no.
What's the difference between the whole thing and Rabbi El Yashiv was in weeks and all this
thing? Oh, no. Anything that would rubber, if it was a real... Miriam made a good point. If the Tamir Shabbos also says, if it's something that's never washable, like a totally plastic raincoat, that you can hang anywhere. Because it wouldn't even be washed.
If the was rubber material,
no.
You would have hung them where they normally would have been hung, but a rubber one could have been hung in the bathroom.
No.
Are they making
the distinction?
You just said it. Where was it?
Yeah, I'll tell you later on, but there are some clothings, cloths that are not that are just totally synthetic, and that doesn't count. Those you can hang anywhere because nobody would ever think that you washed your plastic
raincoat.
That's
exactly the identical article on dry clean things.
as far as your example for pants, which is a perfectly good point,
yeah,
you might say, okay, something like pants, which might be and might not be, okay, I'm going to be strict on that.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to hang that up because it's not 100% obvious, but that doesn't destroy the main point. It's something like a suit jacket, which is never, ever washable.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, you think that nobody washes their suit jackets?
Right before throwing them out.
You can actually use dry and put them in the dryer.
Exactly, you ruin it.
Which is
only if you bought all wool clothes. Not if you bought. You understand what I'm saying?
I've never ever heard of anybody
washing.
Well, the old leisure suits.
Yeah.
Were washed.
My children's clothes are all washed and wear.
Yeah.
Even suits?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? Yeah, sure.
You don't do yours, you're dry cleaning
them. Yeah, I'm dry cleaning only. Right.
So if you make a distinction between the materials for the outer jackets, because some jackets are machine washable.
Oh, because he does. Meaning, but really machine washable? I mean, or their
jacket.
Your jacket
was machine washable.
What was it on the outside? It was like polyester? My jacket on the outside is also rayon or whatever you want to call it. You know what I'm saying?
You can put it in a washing machine, whereas the other... Overcoats.
See, if yours was machine washable, that would be even worse.
Yeah.
The more washable it is, the more likely it would be that someone would think that you had actually that he had washed it.
Then where would he put that? Just throw it.
No, you hang it on the like you said on the door in the bedroom. You know what I'm saying? On the handle, which he did most of them. I didn't notice which he did one way or which he did another way. I didn't notice. Okay, next. Folding the laundry, okay? You're saying, well, who wants to fold laundry on Shabbos? Excellent point.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, so now we're not going to talk about folding laundry per se. Remember that it seemed that the Shmir Shabbos implied that you could fold different kinds of things. Didn't it seem that way?
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, what can you fold and what can't you fold? So this is from the Gemara and the Mishnah in Shabbos in the 15th chapter, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. Says the Mishnah, Mekaplin es hakelim. You're allowed to fold your clothing, afilu, arba v'chamisha pa'amim, four or five times, you can fold it. U'mitzin es hamitos, milele shabbos v'shabbos. You're allowed to put away the beds. Now remember, by the way, why would they want to put away their beds?
Because that was their living room.
That was the living room, right? You fold up the bed, you know? That if you ever gone to, Henry Ford, not Henry Ford, the village. I went to, you ever go down... What's the name of the place? Shouter Village. Anybody ever been to Shouter Village? You been there? Yeah, you go down to what's the road, the Ohio Turnpike? And instead of turning east to New York, go west about 30 miles. And this old-time village called Shouter Village, great for kids. It was really a lovely place. So one of the things they have is they show you what do people live like. So you walk into the house, and it's the kitchen, and the bedroom, and the living room, and the dining room. Right? And that's what it was. You had a house, and that was pretty much it. And there was no upstairs or downstairs, and maybe the kids slept in the loft. So this is the way people lived for the vast majority of world history. So you had your beds, you wanted to sleep, and I wanted to put away the beds. Can I put away the beds? So the answer is, yeah, you're allowed to put away the beds for Shabbos. I'm alone with Shabbos, for Motzei Shabbos. We're not allowed to put away the beds on Shabbos so that you can then use them or set them up for Motzei Shabbos. That's because that's the problem of Hachamah. You're not allowed to do something on Shabbos to prepare for after Shabbos.
But you sleep right in
bed. No. But you're allowed to remake the bed. Let's say you get up in the morning. You want to remake the bed. You want to reset the bed. So you're resetting the bed to be slept in on Shabbos, or you're resetting the bed to be slept in after Shabbos. And their act of setting the bed was a significant act of pulling down the sheets and getting it all straight and whatever it was. Okay, skip to the which says Gemara.
Taking
a nap
on Shabbos.
Yeah.
That's obligatory no matter what anyway. That's another issue. Okay.
So would that apply to when I lived in a studio apartment?
Yeah.
I didn't have much room. I had a couch.
Sort of
couch.
Right.
So at night I had to unfold it. In the morning you would fold it up again.
Sure.
So you'd be able to do that.
Yes, that we should for sure be able to do. Okay. Amri debei Rabbi Yanai. So when they said about folding clothing, they said the following: Lo shanu ela ba'adam echa. That's only for one person. Aval b'shnei b'nei adam lo. But let's say you needed two people to fold. That you would not be permitted to do. Ba'adam echa nami lo amran ela b'chadashim. And also, one person folding something, that was only new clothing. Aval yishanim, lo. But old clothing, you would not be permitted to fold. V'chadashim nami lo amran, ela bilivanim. And new clothing, you'd only be able to fold if it was white. Aval b'tzvulim, but colored clothing, lo. You wouldn't be able to fold colored clothing. V'lo amran, ela she'en lo lahachlif. And that's only if you had nothing else to wear. Aval yeshlo lahachlif, lo. But if you had another piece of clothing, then you would not be able to fold your clothing originally. Saying, what's the problem of folding clothing? Is it you wondering?
Yeah, why can't you fold colored clothing if you can fold white clothing?
You can't fold, who said you can fold wet clothing?
You said you can only fold white.
Oh, white.
Why can't you fold colored clothing?
Okay, so here's, if you look at the Rashi on the Gemara, okay, it says, B'shnei b'nei Adam, two people folding. Kishemaklipin osan, when they fold things, mifashtin kimtehem, okay, when they fold things, they straighten out the creases, v'nira kimetaknin, and it looks like you're being mitaken, okay? There's a huge difference between this and this. Somebody tell me what the difference, Dora, can you see the difference between these two items? What's the material? What's this made out of? Very good. Cotton. 100% cotton. And this is made out of? Polyester or whatever. So these are wonderful because these are what's called wash and wear. Right? These are very popular. Right? It doesn't it doesn't wrinkle. It just doesn't wrinkle. You can do whatever you want to. You can fold it up. You can squish it. It just doesn't wrinkle. It's lovely. It's wonderful. Okay? Except, it's not as fancy. It's also a modern invention. Okay? See this? What do you notice about it?
Line.
Right, the crease line remains. Okay? Plus, it's fancier for the crease line to remain. Right? So when I fold it, you don't like the crease lines? Crease lines are, you know, you like it straight? But the crease lines are the way you want a lot of clothes to be, don't you think?
No, but they want a crease line on your pants.
Right.
Maybe you want
a new
collar, but my napkin,
no. What?
But your napkin.
No, you don't get your napkin. Well, let me ask you, what about your collars?
Do you want your collars creased? I don't know. I'm asking you.
Personally?
Personally, as a man, I mean, why?
Okay, David doesn't care. I can see already. He doesn't care.
The view from the behind.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. What about your pleats on your skirt? Do you want those pleats? Not that skirt. You have a pleated skirt, Zoya. You want the pleats to be simple? Of course. Absolutely. Not only that, when you take it to the dry cleaners, they charge you per pleat.
But why would you be fussing with your pleated skirt on Shabbos?
Why would you be sitting and fussing with your pleated skirt on Shabbos? That's a great question. Right? So what's the prohibition? So there's a prohibition we're going to get to, we haven't talked about yet, called mitake mana. Mitake mana is a derivative of what's called make bepatish, the final hammer blow. Okay? Fixing something, making something fixable, making something usable in the final way. So now, it just so happens that, let's say what kind of clothing did they wear in the times of the Talmud? You want to know what kind of clothing? What?
Robes.
Robes or like sheets or, you know what I'm saying? You know, whatever. So what would be the difference between your regular weekday robe and your Shabbos robe? What's the difference between your weekday shirt and the Shabbos shirt that you wear?
Why
much fancier? So firstly, it's white. Right? Except, I do care. I want my shirts to be pressed. So I have, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And if it gets all smushed up or whatever, right? This has been wearing it for a while already. You can't really, I lost my crease over here. But people are very meticulous about that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think so? Larry's looking at me like, what? Okay, we live in Michigan. Let's go to New York and you'll see.
I gave that up.
Alright. Okay, fine. So we'll come to that in a second. So that you can see that in the folding of clothing, there's an element, there's an aspect of mitake mana. of fixing something, of making it complete. So you would see also, by the way, so now it's hard to imagine folding this would make a difference. It wouldn't make a difference. It wouldn't affect this thing in any way. But if I folded this, and what happens if it was a tablecloth, right? You'll notice, by the way, if you ever go to a really fancy restaurant,
yeah.
You'll see the creases,
mm-hmm.
right? It's a linen, and they call it linens. They don't call it linen for nothing. You know, can you imagine if they would throw on a washing layer or disposable plastic? Right, paper and crayons, right. That's, you know, who'd want to eat there? That's exactly the point. Can't take you anywhere. Okay, it's okay. I just want to tell you something very interesting. So I'll read on the rest of the Gemara. The Gemara is fascinating. Tana. The Gemara says, Shall Beit Rabban Gamliel lo hayu mikaplin kli lavan shalahem. In the house of Rabban Gamliel, they did not fold their white clothing. I don't really know if the white clothing was the outer clothing or it was their some kind of garment that they wore. Why? They were so wealthy that they had an extra pair of clothing to wear on Shabbos day. So when they went to sleep at night, they did not have to fold their clothing in order because they had another piece of clothing the next day.
Guess what? I think we do that now, too.
Exactly. I wanted to show you this piece of Gemara to show you the disparity between the way we live our lives and how they live their lives. Amar Rav Huna. Said Rav Huna. In Yeshlo Lahachlif Yachlif. If Shabbos comes, and if you have something else to wear, you should wear it. V'im Ein Lo Lahachlif. And if you don't have anything to wear, then Yishalshel B'Begadav. Yishalshel B'Begadav means you should let your clothing go long. Why? Meaning during the week, they hitched up their clothes. Why would they hitch up their clothes during the week?
So not to drag
and hang and wouldn't get filthy.
Right.
Correct. But on Shabbos, you should let your clothing down. So Maskev Lo Rasafra. Rasafra says, hey, B'Hamitchazei B'Ramus Rucha. You're looking like you're haughty. That's an act of haughtiness to have your clothes go to the ground. He says, no. Kevin dechol yomo lo ka'avid. Since most of the week you don't do it, va'idna hu dechol, and now you do it on Shabbos, lo mitchazik yiram u'ducha. It doesn't look like you're being arrogant. But that showed you, like here we are, I have a Shabbos suit, and a Shabbos tie, and Shabbos shoes. Most people, if you weren't the Rabban Gamliel, the Nasi, right, what did you do for Shabbos? You let your pants down. Because normally you hitch them up so that they wouldn't get wet and that they wouldn't get muddy. What? You put them in your boots, right? And so on Shabbos you let them down.
It's the opposite. Wouldn't you want to take care of your Shabbos? You don't want it to get dirty. You don't want it to get muddy.
Yeah. So, but nonetheless, we're left with this halacha about folding. So now, I would just say straight out, for these kinds of clothes, there's no prohibition of folding. Fold to your heart's content. But for fancier things, we're going to come to, I brought you a pair of slacks, right? What's unique about the pair of slacks?
They have cleats.
They have cleats, they have creases, right? And most people will, even if they're a nice enough pair of slacks and you actually care about them, you will take them to the dry cleaner to be pressed. And you want them to stay exactly like that.
Can you put it under the mattress?
So that's exactly the point. So then, no, you would not be permitted to put it under the mattress on Shabbos, because that's... Can you hang it back up? That's a good question. Okay. Says the this is from the tour, page number 4. I'm running out of time. What do I want to skip? Okay. What? You guys are making trouble. Okay. Okay, Mekaplin Kalim B'Shabbos. Now, the Torah says Gimel, I'm sorry. You're allowed to fold clothing on Shabbos. L'tzorech Shabbos, l'lo shambo bayom. You're folding them because you need them for tomorrow. V'davka v'adam echad, now we see what the Gemara says. This is only one person, avash ne'ibnei adam, lo. To have the tikkun tfei. I guess they had these long sheets or whatever that they would put on, and two people would fold it. They would really fold it in a very meticulous way. Okay? V'afilu v'adam echad, even one person, davka chadashim, new clothing. Dehainu kozman shalo rochtso, as long as they're not washed before. Ulevanim, or white clothing, she'ein hakipo metaknam kol kaf, that the folding doesn't make it better. Ruhu she'ein lo lahachlif, and that's only if you have nothing else to wear. Aba yishanim, old clothing, or tzivuyim, or she'esha lahachlif, aser. So people are not aware of this. If there's an issue of folding clothing, because the folding in and of itself is going to look like it's a kind of fixing of the clothing itself. Okay? And so look at Shulchan Aruch, source number 10. See where it says Gimel? Mekaplin came to Shabbos Aruch Shabbos. You see, it's exactly the same. It's exactly the same thing. Okay? Skip to the third line. See where in the middle of the third line? V'yesh misha omer. Some say. V'yesh misha omer. Some say, D'lekaplo shelo kesheder kipulo harishon mutar b'chol inyan. Don't you want to fold it? He says, but I don't want to fold it the way it was normally folded. So here, I would say that to refold this napkin in its original form, you would all agree that's probably I'm trying to make it nice, so that you shouldn't do, according to what the Shulchan Aruch says. He said, but let's say you wanted to fold it to put it away. He said, very simple. Fold it a different way. Don't fold it on the creases. And if you fold it on, not on the creases, so can anybody argue that you're fixing it, you're trying to make it better? No. So therefore, that would be no problem at all. Okay, where does this come up? Look at Yud Bet, the Tzarek Shabbos, the Mishnah Berurah. I'm sorry, Yud Gimel. V'lachein. See Yud Gimel in the Mishnah Berurah? V'lachein. Asher lekapel hatalis. You can't fold your talis. Afal pisa mitzvah stitches kol yom. Even though you could wear stitches all day. V'yachol lehitateto. And you could wrap yourself in it. V'kol makom. Nonetheless, kemen she'en bedato lehitateto. Asur, since you're not going to wear it again, you're not going to wrap yourself in it, it's asur. And I will just tell you, by the way, and this is something I got into, this is my Shabbos talis, okay? You'll notice, for some reason, I mean, I am a little anal about it, it's folded on the original creases.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you do on, what do you do after show?
They don't alum and they fold up their talis?
Yeah.
They do it something wrong?
No, only if... So you have two
only
options.
You're doing it on the
creases. On the creases. So,
how do you do it?
What? How do I do mine? How do I do mine?
You don't do it because you may.
So how do I fold it on? How does it fold on the creases?
Yeah.
You don't fold it till after Shabbos.
Fold it after Shabbos.
Oh, okay.
What do I do?
Something lying that's no longer
the creases.
Creases.
There you go. I like it. It's my Shabbos house. I wanted it to have the whatever. So in order to keep it that way. You fold it on the creases. But you see from the Shulchan Aruch that folding it on the creases is a problem on Shabbos. So some people, you might notice, so now you'll be a suitor, but you're aware of this. After Shabbos, some people take out their talis, unfold it, and fold it again. The Shabbos talis. Why? Because that's exactly what they're doing. Personally, I don't feel like doing that, so I just dump it. I happen to have space near where I daven, so I'll just dump it, and, you know, leave it in the cabinet, and then I'll fold it after Shabbos. But if you don't care about the creases, fold it however you want. It doesn't matter. That's okay, because you just want to put it away.
So you shouldn't tighten your
scissors. That's another reason. That's another reason to do it after Shabbos. And now I'm giving you a second reason. Okay? Skip to... Let's just finish up page 5. Oh, I'm sorry, page 6. You have to skip page 5, read it on your own. Okay? Okay, folding linens and garments. One may not fold most garments on their original folds on Shabbos or Yom Tov, because this improves the appearance of the garment. The act of folding has the appearance of makkeh b'patish, and is therefore rabbinically restricted. So now let's say you have these pants and you want to hang them up after. It's a tricky thing. It's like, hey, you got your pants and you want to put them away. So, you know, what I would say to do, you're not supposed to intentionally, you can't take it from the bottom for sure and then make sure you're on the creases and hold it like, relax, live and learn, and do it like that, okay? So what I would say to do is, you could approximate. You know what I'm saying? Just take it from the top, and get it, right? Even if they fall, that's what I'm saying. So you're not allowed to specifically
do it.
Go like that. And I can see you're a pretty meticulous guy. You like things to look nice, right? So I am too. I am exactly like that. So when you hang them up normally, you're going to make it specifically. But on Shabbos, when you do that, right? When on Shabbos, you take off your pants, you can go like that, and it's not going to be exact. See? And you get it exact. You get it close enough. And that way it'll sit until the next day. You won't ruin it. Trust me. Okay? So you see from here, these are all halachas of laundry that people just are not aware of. It's important to know so that you can do it in the proper way on Shabbos. If there's a proper way to do it, and not a proper way. You know, I got to tell you, it's so interesting. when I was probably 10, I remember once I was sharing a room with my grandfather all of a sudden. And it's amazing the things that stay with you. Just so, you know, sometimes your parents can knock you on the head and knock you on the head. And I remember it was Friday night. My grandfather, you know, he lived in Miami, and he came and he stayed in my room. I think I was the only one that could sleep through his snoring. So he stayed in my room. And we get into bed, and we're like getting ready after Friday night dinner. And he looks at me and he says, "You know, I always like to put things away when I finish with them. Because that way I know where they are when I need them the next time." That's all he said. That's it. And since then, I make it, like, you know, college was an exception, but since then, I've always been pretty particular about putting things away, putting my clothing away at the end of the day, because what he said just stuck with me. You know what I mean? Like, I want it to be the way I want it to be. And it doesn't, you know, I realize it's not a big deal to put it away, because then it's put away, and it stays nicely. Yeah. So, I just want to add one more thing. What about doing the laundry on Shabbos? Here you go. So folding the laundry. I will tell you, by the way, as a husband who actually does fold laundry every now and then, right? It's a big pain in the neck. So I just want to share with you the Chayei Adam. So look at the last line of the Chayei Adam. Okay, second to last line. Let's say you fold it not the normal way, right, like we said. You fold it in a different way. This is page 6 in the Chayei Adam, number 13. Hakol Mutar. So you're allowed to fold towels to your heart's content. You're allowed to. You have a whole load of towels. In theory, you could fold them all, he says. V'davka shirotza l'lov shabbat Shabbos. That's only if you want to wear it on Shabbos, the imlokein hakol aser. He says, because you're not permitted to just fold laundry because you have laundry to do. That's not, like you said, it's not a Shabbos-dick thing to do. And I happen to agree with you, but stronger than you think. Because it's not a Shabbos-dick thing to do. I got free time to kill. I've got 7 loads of laundry. I'm not going to do bow wear. I'm not going to do, you know, I'm not doing fixing things. I could fold laundry real till tomorrow. That's not what Shabbos is about. I agree with you very strongly. Shabbos is not about folding laundry. Put it in the guest room and close the door and do it after Shabbos. Now, what if, though, you had it and it was in the way and you needed the space and you needed to put it away? Fine. If you needed the space, you needed to put it away, then you would be permitted to do it. That would be considered a Shabbos need. But if you don't need to put it away and you don't need to use it, I personally think pretty strongly, no folding laundry on Shabbos. There you go. Have a good week.